Good evening, and welcome to our fifth Lenten midweek service in going through the book of Job. After hearing the laments of Job and hearing his complaints, now we finally hear God speak. The hidden God becomes revealed God, and what he reveals is incredibly amazing. So join us this evening as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. I know that my Redeemer lives. We continue with the singing of our hymn, Jesus, Refuge of the Weary. God of thundering glory and wondrous love, you laid the earth's foundation. You marked off its dimensions. You laid its cornerstone. You shut the sea behind doors. And so to you we lay bare the thoughts and desires of our hearts. We have been foolish in our secret desires. We are bound to fatal enchantments that lead us into lies and deceit. Hear our broken cries, for we have no other hope. The God who wraps himself in a storm and speaks to Job is the same God who wrapped himself in a human body to die on a cross, bleed for your sins, and hang forsaken by his Father. Because of Jesus, you are cleansed, healed, forgiven, and made new. I know that my Redeemer lives. Let us pray. God of magnificent power and might, just as you spoke to Job out of the storm, speak now in our storms, that we have the courage for living of these days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship with readings from Holy Scripture. The Old Testament lesson for this evening comes from Job, the 38th chapter. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by my words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made cloud its garments and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle is from 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found within our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. One day, Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side, to the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And then they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. And they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" And this is the gospel of the Lord. We continue our worship with the singing of our sermon hymn.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. For 35 chapters, God is silent. For 35 chapters, God doesn't say a word. For 35 chapters, Job cries out. And for 35 chapters, Bildad, Zophar, Eliphaz, and Elihu consternate, deliberate, replicate, and pontificate. But God, he says nothing. Brace yourself. For beginning with Job 38, verse 1, the hidden God becomes the revealed God, and what he reveals is absolutely astounding. What power, what wisdom, and what awesome greatness. The truth of today is, instead of an explanation from God, we receive a revelation of God. God finally speaks. Out of thunder, God speaks. In the middle of a storm, God speaks. To the father who holds a rose taken from the casket of his child, God speaks. To the wife who holds the flag taken from her husband's casket, God speaks. To the couple with barren womb and fervent prayers, God speaks. To any person who has tried to see God through shattered glass, God speaks. Our God speaks in the storm, and his voice thunders with majesty, power, and authority. Verse 1 says, "Then the Lord, Yahweh, answered Job out of the storm." This storm has huge thunderclouds, sky-shattering flashes of lightning. It's a massive show of force, a Category 5 kind of storm for a Category 5 kind of God. And for the first time since chapters 1 and 2, the name Yahweh appears. From chapter 3 through 37, people have called him God and Almighty, but not Yahweh. You might ask, why is this important? You might remember from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when God was speaking to Moses, he said, "I am who I am." Jesus picks up these "I am" statements in John's gospel. For instance, he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd, and I am the resurrection and the life." For 35 chapters, Job is consumed with all kinds of questions. Where is God? Why is this happening? When will it end? How could God do this to me? But the most important question is not when, why, what, or how, but who? Who is the God behind all of this? And who is the question that is answered in Job chapters 38 through 41? Instead of an explanation from God, we receive a revelation of God. In verse 2, it says, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge?" Job doesn't respond. In verse 3, he says, "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." Job keeps quiet. In verse 4, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much." And then verses 5 through 7 says, "Do you know how its dimensions were determined and who did the surveying? What supports its foundation and who laid its cornerstone. As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. We see here God has turned the tables on Job. Instead of Job questioning God, God is questioning Job. And those questions pour down like sheets of rain in the midst of the storm. They splatter in the chambers of Job's heart with a wildness and a beauty and a terror that leaves everyone, every Job who has ever lived, drenched and amazed and absolutely speechless. What starts here and continues to the end of chapter 41 is a list of 70 questions that God asks Job. And the point of all this is Job needs to let God be God. There is a God, and we are not Him. To underscore this point, God repeatedly points out that the infinite universe is that, infinite and vast. Now we know, for instance, that the diameter of the sun is 109 times larger than the earth. Its volume could contain 1,000,000 earths. This God created the Milky Way, which is just one galaxy, and it measures 104,000 light years across. It contains over 100 billion stars. And according to the information given to us from the Hubble telescope, there are hundreds of billions of galaxies in the universe. Can you see it, Job? God asks. Can you rejoice in it all as I do? The morning stars sing for joy because of who I am and what I do. Can you rejoice in it too? Can you see how carefully I put it all together? Can you grasp the immensity of what I've created? Can you be my equal? Can you match my power, my ability to watch over and care for all of this? What do you say, Job? And then in chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, Job answered the Lord, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." And then in chapter 42, verses 1 and 2, Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted." Job finally gets it. He's been the watering boy for LeBron James, telling him how to dribble a basketball. He's been the bat boy for Hank Aaron, telling him how to hit a baseball. He's been the caddy for Tiger Woods, telling him how to use a 9-iron. Job has been the clay, telling the potter what to do. But then Job surrenders. He stops pressing for an explanation from God and instead receives a revelation of God. This God not only wraps himself in a storm, but in the fullness of time, he wrapped himself in a human body. Jesus took on human flesh to take us into our arms, his arms, heal our hurts, and destroy our darkness. He became a human being not to demonstrate the innocence of infancy, but to live the life we could not, and to experience the Father's judgment so we need not. We don't have a God who is distant, far off, and disconnected. We have a God who is with us, a God who speaks in the storm and becomes like us in the person of Jesus Christ. Are you broken? He was broken Are you hurting? He hurt. Are you crying? He cried. God is fully present for us, and He is with us. And one day in the light of glory, we will look back on the story He has written in our lives and the lives of all His people, and we shall declare, He has done all things well. Job's attitude began with a mixture of self-pity and self-assurance. As his life was devastated by one calamity after another, Job sank into deep grief. And then, in spite of his wife's advice to curse God and die, he insisted on defending his own innocence. By contrast, the attitude recommended by Job's three friends was self-accusation. "Come on, Job," they said. "Admit that you're suffering because of your sin. This is God's judgment upon you. Repent, and it will soon turn out all right." But Job refused to be bullied into signing such a false confession. He was innocent. And then the fourth friend, Elihu, appears on the scene, and he urges Job yet another attitude to adopt, that of self-discipline. He pleads with Job to see that there is purpose in pain, not retribution, but instruction. To recognize that in some measure, this is God's way of correcting us. And then finally, it is God who speaks. And the only attitude left open to Job is self-surrender, falling before God in reverence, awe, and humility. How about us? I'd say that even if your life is going pretty well at this time, we're all in a storm of this virus. Are we listening? Or do we say, like many in society today, that God is fake, a phony, a fraud? Just give up on God. Or we can, like Job, receive the revelation and stop insisting on an explanation. We surrender. We declare our declaration of dependence. And what does that look like? Jesus gave it to us in His very words, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We dare to pray these words because a revelation of this God beats any explanation every time. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, You inhabit eternity. The heavens declare Your glory, and the earth announces Your beauty. Your presence fills the universe, and yet in Christ You came to us with compassion and mercy. Find light in our darkness, joy in our sorrow, healing in our sickness, and Your great grace that covers a multitude of sins. We pray in silence for any additional prayers that You have laid upon our hearts. O God of infinite mercy and wisdom, please be with those who are on the front lines of this virus. Be with our health workers, for our grocery store workers, for our mailmen and women, for those who drive trucks, and for all those in government who make decisions that impact our lives. We pray for those who are hurting by the sin of this world. We pray for the family of friend Diner, friend of Curtis Kupler, who has passed away. We pray for the family of Ben Callis, friend of Mary Stocky, who has passed away. As you promised that you are with us in all things, be with us in our grief, be with us in our joy, and be with us forevermore. Dear Father, hold us tight in your fierce love, a love that gives sense to our days and hope to our years. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Remember us in your kingdom, Lord, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we go forth confidently in the name of our Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We close our service with the singing of our hymn, Abide With Me.